Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The preambulatory NFL person, the godmother of quality footwear. You found the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back. 804 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right, do the phones work or they've been shot? Or are they done? Do we know? If anybody wants to try.
Yeah, I reset the phone, so you hopefully reset people can call.
Okay. It. So if anybody wants to try to get in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. The number to call here. You saw this, how the deal got together with the Texans and the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
from Monty, the Cardinals side.
Yeah, from the Cardinals side. It's basically Monty, Austin Fort, just, okay, this is what I want. It's a laundry list stuff. They go back and forth a little bit, but there's actually a few of these that have been done that are really good behind the scenes. Like, this is really good content.
Yeah.
That should be, you know, I think most teams now have, there's videos that go out so they can, you know, they can kind of show people the behind the scenes of how trades work. And I know the Colts have had it. I think the Colts have had it the longest. The league had them doing that one on, I believe. Maybe it's just the Colts, but it's interesting to watch things get done. I think it's fascinating. I think a lot of people would love to see the ins and outs of how quick this goes. Now, there's some stuff teams wouldn't want, you know, and probably I don't. You have to be careful what you're saying if you're being taped, because Monty could, you know, turn and go, man, I'm going to kill the Texans here. They want this. I'm going to make them pay out of the nose. The league wouldn't want that kind of stuff out. Texans wouldn't want that out. I can guarantee you. You know who, by the way, Zoom, you remember one of the most memorable things was the video that we see when Philadelphia drafts Rager and they pass on Justin Jefferson and Minnesota and them are laughing and like so excited. That was one that I'm sure in hindsight, the league's like, oh, boy, that's embarrassing for Philadelphia. And Philadelphia's like, yeah, we're in the – now you guys have Rager and we're in the Super Bowl, so don't care.
Yeah, right. anyway, it's the Cardinals war room, Monty Austin. It's hard to put play on the radio because you got to see it. They put music to it. It's really, really well done. Let me ask you a question, because I didn't hear this, and Jeremy Branham retweeted this out, and he said, if the Texans – see, the Cardinals – I think the Texans at first were just offering 12 and 33 and 104, mm-hmm. and they got the first rounder next year out of the Texans in the phone call in the final minutes.
Yeah.
If the Texans didn't leverage. Offer Cleveland's first rounder as opposed to their own, Jeremy says fireable offense. If you wanted a first rounder, why would you give up your own as opposed to Cleveland's?
I wouldn't, because Monty told you to. Because in the video, he says, this is what we're going to need. And he says it.
Well, okay, you need a first rounder next year? I got one for you, Cleveland's.
Monty was smart. He understood that they
But did the Texans counter?
You don't have time.
You have plenty of time. No. We'll give you Cleveland's and that's it. You got a first rounder.
No.
You got another first rounder.
That's why I've been saying this whole time. The quarterback deal was the monkey wrench. The C.J. Stroud thing, it happened late. The C.J. Stroud thing happened late. I know this. And when they decided to go C.J. Stroud, they wanted to get – Will Anderson was the guy that they had initially targeted.
Yeah, I get all that.
And so they had to have – and so they basically got leveraged into a really expensive deal for the guy they wanted. And it didn't matter.
No. Wait a minute. Because all I've heard and all we've been saying is, well, they had to take C.J. Stroud
first.
It's a Will Anderson. You had to give up less.
I think Monty Austin Fort would have eventually pulled the trigger if you stayed firm.
Yes.
Because who else was he on the phone with?
No, that's
it. Who else
did
they have a deal with?
They wanted to move back. It was kind of.
It would not have taken – they knew that they could still – now, they probably knew they could still move up and go get Paris Johnson. They wanted Paris Johnson. So, remember, they traded back, and then they traded back up.
Right.
And probably what he had probably already thought, we're going to have to move back up. This is what it's going to cost us. So, that's why he wanted to get the Texans first. But having Cleveland's first, probably, I think it would have gotten the job done.
Cleveland's first would have gotten
the job. I think it would have gotten the job done.
It would have gotten the job done. Yep, because they would have got another first out of it. They got two firsts, a first, a second rounder, which actually was a third because of, I mean.
No, they got the early second.
Early second, I mean, which actually was a first because Miami wasn't even in the deal. I mean, goodness gracious, they gave up a ton for Will Anderson. And if it would sting a little less if it was Cleveland's pick.
Yeah.
It would absolutely sting a little mm-hmm. less. Because Cleveland is going to be better than the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I mean,
they're in a much tougher division. Yeah. But of course, you know, but news coming out of Cleveland is that Deshaun Watson looks really sharp. I don't know that I've read anything from any camp where somebody's not looking really sharp and really good. Man, just, and it's not even camp, it's OTAs.
Well, no.
Oh, boy, Baker. Anthony Richardson, yeah. Well, it depends on your narrative. And Baker's probably just not looking good. You know, any chance you get a chance to rip
Will
on.
I heard Will Levis is catching some, too.
Any chance you get a chance to. They focus on one throw,
yeah, right.
Which is which is a sideways pivot throw. It's one of the hardest throws I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incomplete. Now, look, I'm not all in on Will Levis by any stretch. I wouldn't have taken him if I'm, you know, maybe in second round if you were. I wouldn't have traded up like they did, but. Yeah, it was. Will Levis is the guy that you're going to beat up on. So you say, "Boy, Will Levis is really struggling." Like, but Anthony Richardson, oh my God, have you seen this? What an amazing, amazing camp he's having. So everyone's having amazing camps. Bryce and CJ and all the rookies are amazing, just like every right. year where all the rookies are amazing.
They are
except
amazing.
For Levis,
right?
But everyone else is amazing. Actually, I did see some stuff where Levis was heralded too. For some of the throws he was making. So everyone's amazing when there's no bullets, there's no one's being rushed. It's easy. Everyone's amazing right now. Well, come see me when you get to actual camp and then we'll see when it starts to pick up the intensity a little bit. Then we see some preseason games. Then let's see who's really playing well and who's not. I saw one where Devon Witherspoon got beat deep. Did you see that? By the way, Witherspoon for me, I didn't have him as high as everyone else. Yeah. I have it. Christian Gonzalez one.
Oh, wait, he got beat
badly by Smith. Well, cleanly by Smith and Jigba. But Smith and Jigba is not supposed to be fast, and Witherspoon didn't make up any ground on him at all. I question when I watched him on tape. My problem with Witherspoon was that I didn't think he ran. I know his testing was pretty good, but I didn't think he ran great. Like that to me, that's one of the reasons that I couldn't put him as my top corner. In fact, I think I have him as my third corner.
Really?
I probably had him second.
But one
I didn't have a 67 on him. I have like an average first round, like a, you know, mid to late round first round grade on him. And I have Christian Gonzalez top 10 pick. So we'll see. But Smith and Jigba beat him. And so now one guy's great, one guy can't play. I saw it on one video. It's got to be the answer. Just like Kyle Hamilton had problems in the preseason or in camp, and people were like, Kyle Hamilton is a disgrace. He's a disaster. Then he was first team all rookie and played really well. It's camp. Mostly you're just going to hear how everyone's great. And guess what? They won't be great when regular season starts because football's hard for quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, 812 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776.
When's Dana going to come in?
Dana's coming in at 9. He'll be here at 9. He'll be here for the hour. You University of Houston fans, you need to call in. You need to hang out and listen to Dana. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Dana Holgorsen is going to be here with us answering your questions about the upcoming season. And I'm going to tell you this. I've known Dana a while. And it's not like other off seasons he hasn't worked his ass off. I mean, he really does. It's way more than you guys think. But this dude is really working at this off season. He knows how difficult it's going to be. As a matter of fact, I saw something. Somebody said, "Well, I mean, listen, if Quinn Ewers is on, if Quinn Ewers is really good, Texas is going to be." Really, really difficult to beat everybody.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
For real,
I think everybody. They're going to be good because they've got a veteran offensive line. They've got some rushers. They've brought some people in through the portal. Like, yeah, I think this could finally be the year where the hype might meet the expectations. They may meet expectations.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Finally.
So this
but we'll see.
And this transition ain't easy, people. Dana's been through it before, and we'll see where he is on this transition as opposed to when West Virginia went to the Big 12, going from the Big East, and see how much more difficult or maybe not. I mean, we'll see. What he's got some players. He's got the transfer portal now where you can pick and choose, and there's plenty of guys to choose from in there. You just got to make the right choices, and we'll see. Because there are plenty. I mean, dude has been working it, and he's got a lot of guys coming in. Now, whether or not you can mesh them all, that's the problem. That's what Pat Narduzzi came after Deion. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Narduzzi came after Deion talking about, okay, I don't know that you're going about this the right way, Deion. All of these kids that you're in it and in and out of your program, I'm not sure that you're hand, and I don't know why he went after Deion. Deion said he's not coming after me. He's really pissed at Riley, and he, you know what? He's just taking it out on this transfer portal. Pat Narduzzi has been very outspoken about the portal.
Yeah, because he had Jordan Addison stolen.
Yeah, stolen. Basically stolen from him. And we'll ask Dana one thing you'd like to change. And I would imagine the one thing the coaches would like to change about it is poaching.
Mm.
Because they're players that you think are secure, they walk in your office one day and they're gone.
There's no way
you're like,
how can you change?
Where the hell did this come from?
But how could you change it?
Well, you got.
Without putting a 1-year buffer like we used to have, which everyone was so against. Without putting a 1-year buffer on there, I don't know how you can do it. That's the only deterrent I can think of,
mm-hmm.
is the 1-year buffer, because no one wants to wait. And so I think you're less likely to have that issue unless your coach leaves.
Yep.
But if you put in, we're going to go back to a 1-year buffer unless your coach leaves.
All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776 is the number. Why don't you talk about John Daspit right now?
I'll talk about John Daspit. I'll talk about a guy who is involved with U of H's collective. Put $1 million into University of Houston's college football collective. He was very instrumental in the basketball collective last year. He has he's going to be involved with University of Texas this year and more. John Daspit is, you know, giving back in that area to some of the players, and he recognizes a lot of the people that he works with. They're going to be, you know, his clients are going to be from this area. A lot are from the Ship Channel area, the coastal areas where there's maritime injury, you know, out on the water where there's refinery blasts is something. He just finished a huge, huge case and had a huge settlement. And he's going to do the same thing for people with the horrible Astroworld tragedy that we saw with the Travis Scott concert. John Daspit understands that people who have been injured through no fault of their own, it is a really tough situation because you're looking at missed work, you're looking at injuries that need to be rehabbed, you're looking at hospital bills, potentially injuries that don't go away that end up becoming part of your daily life, and you should be compensated for that. That was not your fault. It was someone else's negligence, and John Daspit will work hard for you. He will work to get that done for you as hard as anyone out there. He's the biggest here in Houston, the second biggest in the state, and that's just for now. He's going to bypass and be the biggest in the state. He's even expanding into states like Arkansas and Georgia. He's really good at what he does. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Because every day is Children's Day.
Oh, hello there, children.
So get this. During that last break, these guys finally buried the hatchet over that whole Gwyneth Paltrow debacle. With some gentle nudging from Lance, John finally lit her scented candle, and it turns out he likes it. Go figure. It's John Granato and Lance Zierlein mending fences in the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike McDaniel. So where's the best landing spot for Dalvin Cook?
See, people were talking about Miami. Look, I can tell you this. In the pre-draft process, I had more than one team tell me it is great that he's going to Minnesota because it's trouble at home. He had issues off the field. Miami may not be a good spot for Dalvin Cook from a personal standpoint.
All right, gotcha.
I think the best spot would be potentially the Bengals with Joe Mixon. You got to – just in a perfect world.
Like Cincinnati, you can't get in any trouble.
But they couldn't – right, but they couldn't make it work financially. But can you imagine he gets to play the new role of he can play some third – both of them can do the exact same thing. I think that would be a really good spot for him. I think Seattle would be a good spot for him, along with Rashad Walker. Not Rashad Walker, but Kenneth Walker. I think you know, people have talked about Buffalo. Buffalo, actually, they can't afford it now if they had Oliver deal, but Buffalo would have
been
a really good...
Which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Boy, they really hold Ed. And listen...
Well, I say that, but I don't know how much he could make, actually, with... I say they couldn't afford it. What is Dalvin going to be? Like a one-year, $7 million player? And his brother James Cook is there, too. So you'd have Dalvin and James. I think Buffalo is probably the best
spot. That would be...
But he's been a warm weather.
He let was them
a,
cook.
He, yeah, that is Pro Football Focus had to let them cook. But, I mean, he's been a guy who has played in a cold weather conference, but indoors you've got.
Yeah, but he's played at Green Bay.
He's played at Green Bay. Right. Detroit's Chicago. Nothing. Chicago. I don't know when he's played those games, how cold it's been. But, yeah, Dalvin is, I think my favorite spot is probably Buffalo, but once again, you're gonna have to make it work financially. RG3 said running backs are getting hosed in the NFL. Dalvin Cook coming off four straight 1,000-yard seasons with 43 rushing touchdowns. Okay, well, you know why they're getting hosed? Because of your position, quarterback. RG3.
Yeah. Who are you gonna play? Who are you gonna pay?
Because wide receivers now are making what quarterbacks used to make just a couple years ago. So, and running backs they're not getting hosed. Running back, there's the supply and demand. It's just, and by the way, a 1,000-yard season is not a big deal.
Especially 17
it
games.
It just means that you stayed healthy.
It just means you averaged 60 yards a game. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. Mike McDaniel asked about the Dolphins' interest in Dalvin Cook. Now, I think at the time, Dalvin Cook had not yet been released, right?
No,
but he had.
He had.
Official? It was official? Officially released?
Yeah, I think he was released yesterday. He's not allowed to talk about it.
No.
About a player until they've been officially released.
Right.
I think he did get officially released.
So here's Mike McDaniel asked about the Dolphins' interest in Dalvin Cook.
March 3rd, 1983. That day I was born, right? Now we take a closer look at that date, and that, in fact, was not yesterday. Okay, so people that are rumored to be tall, short, people that are rumored to be, you're not going to get this guy. I'm year two, okay?
So
he said, I wasn't born yesterday. I'm not answering that.
Right.
I'm year two. Okay. I was listening to a show coming in, the morning guys or whatever from Mike and Mad or from Mad Dog Radio, and Willie Colon's one of the guys on it. And they were talking about, this is just one of those things where, you know, I just think that would bother me if he didn't give an answer. And to me, I would always like having Mike McDaniel as the guy. I would always like
Absolutely.
Him. He has a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
There's never a day that I would not like. I would much rather deal with a Mike McDaniel than a Bill O'Brien.
A Bill O'Brien.
Well, I know, but you literally, Bill O'Brien could be a good, nice guy. But
would you rather have Mike McDaniel or D'Amico Ryans?
Interviewing type? As like post-game?
I don't care.
No, Mike McDaniel's the funniest.
He absolutely is the funniest, but would you rather have him as a head
D'Amico,
coach?
And here's why.
You love D'Amico. McDaniels,
no, I think Mike is a great offensive. I don't know that he has the presence to be a guy who can withstand the adversity. I think he's a funny, glib. He's a guy you'd like to hang out with. He's funny. I think he's a great offensive mind. D'Amico really does strike me as a leader of men, where I think that whether – things are high or low, he's going to be fine. And I'm not sure about that with Mike McDaniel. When the going gets tough, I want to see how Mike McDaniel holds up.
Well, yeah, D'Amico, he had some tough sledding last year.
He did. There were some times, yeah, especially with the quarterback out. And it wasn't all funny little stuff at the podium anymore.
No.
Which it's not going to be. You're in the middle of a season. And but no, I would rather have D'Amico than Mike McDaniel.
Okay, odds. The Dolphins are even money. The Jets are 5-2, which, okay, the Bills are 5-1. Bengals, 10-1.
Oh, to get Dalvin
Cook? To get
Cook?
Dalvin Cook. DeAndre Hopkins, next team. Why did he wait till Sunday to go there? He's going to be there Sunday. Why didn't he just go?
I don't know.
Well, Cody had the theory. He's just hoping somebody else comes in. I'm going to go there Sunday, everybody. Hey, I'm going to Tennessee Sunday, if anybody wanted to know.
Who would want to, like, you got the background of Vrabel, but yeah. I don't know why. That's just gross.
Yeah. Well, you'd be the number one guy in the room.
Number one guy, but you're dealing with two rookies behind a guy who is, you know, a quarterback who's going to be on the way out anyway. And this is the beginning of what is probably going to be a life, the back third of his career, where he's on a bunch of series of one-year deals. Maybe 2 years. He may find a two-year deal. Everyone was expecting him to sign up with Cleveland.
Well, first of all, he's looking for Odell money. He ain't getting Odell money.
No. Yeah. He's not.
That's why. That's the problem with all of this.
Well, the other
Odell
thing
screwed
is,
his whole it screwed it up.
Let me tell you what NFL teams won't deal with. The basketball, where you have to deal with players who just sit out when they don't want to play, or, you know, just NFL teams won't do that. So the rumor is that he did that in Arizona the last two games, just decided he wasn't going to play, even though he was a healthy scratch, and they moved on from him. The fact that they couldn't trade him means that, and then he has limited options in the free agent market, means either he doesn't have people, he didn't have the amount of people coming after him as you think, or they're just not going to give him the deal he's looking for. Two things that hurt him. I think people remember now, next gen data is available to everyone. They know how he runs, and they can see, well, what does his separation data look like 2 years ago, now. And then if they think he's a guy that is going to be somebody who is difficult to manage for any reason, and they're going to talk to Cliff Kingsbury, they're going to talk to Steve Keim, a lot of teams won't take a chance unless you're Randy Moss, unless you're a high-level player. And I don't know if D-Hop's still a high-level player. I think he can be. But once again, if some of the next-gen data is not in his favor, That may really work against him.
So D-Hop is the Tennessee's the favorite because he's actually going there on Sunday. Cleveland's next. Bills, Kansas City, Dallas, Baltimore. Chase Young, next team if not Commanders. The Lions are the favorite.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
At 4-1, boy, if they get to him too,
I like that for them.
Holy crap! Mm-hmm. The bookends on the defensive.
Let's talk about trading.
Holy crap!
Yeah, I think they trade a Quora and a draft pick. I like that for them.
Seattle, Chicago, the Giants, and then the Texans are 7-1.
Seattle, Chicago,
Giants, and then Houston.
I think Texans should 100% be in on those discussions, but the question is, I saw Greg Gabriel, who used to be a personnel exec with the Chicago Bears. He tweeted yesterday that he would not do any deal unless there was full medicals that could be explored by the team. Like, the team's got to have full medicals on him. So if there's a question about his medicals, maybe if that's why Washington didn't give him a fifth year, then you really need to know that kind of stuff before you make any kind of trade. Yeah. Of course, every trade can be rescinded if you don't pass the physical.
It's so funny how these odds, Dalvin Cook's odds, Miami, there's all this scuttlebutt, all this talk, Tennessee. It's all information that's out there on the internet and rumor mill. Chase Young, the Lions. There was an article that came out about what each team would give up to get Chase Young. LeBron James. Apparently Kyrie is trying to get him to Dallas, and Dallas is the favorite. Golden State is second.
Well, the favorite is actually he stays with L.A.
Chris Paul.
Staying with L.A. is a huge favorite.
Yeah, the favorite, if not the Lakers. Chris Paul's next team, the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Celts. The Rockets aren't even on here. Shut up, stupid. Damian Lillard next team. What do you think the favorite is?
It would be the Knicks.
The Heat. Remember, he said he
oh, yeah.
Somebody posted, yeah. Dame wants to go and play for the Heat. Somebody posted that a couple of days ago.
Did he like it?
The Nets and then the Knicks are next. DeAndre Ayton, if not the Suns, the Mavericks are the favorite. The Bulls, the Hawks. It's so much public information that moves these lines.
Would you like
it's Ayton, amazing.
Would you like Ayton for the Rockets? He's going to cost a ton of money. I mean, you got double bigs then. I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
He'd be a little expensive for just a rim runner. If you're just going to get a rim runner, which I think you just need somebody who can block
some
shots.
No.
And just can catch lobs and dunk it. You can find those guys.
Yes.
You don't want to overpay for that.
So no. There seems to be this continuous idea that maybe Houston brings in Brooke Lopez. I mean, are you guys kind of for or against that veteran guy, veteran center? He's not what Şengün is, but, you know, kind of that veteran can play back to the basket, can also spot up.
He can alternate their minutes, too. He'd be interesting. He comes from a winning he's got a winning background. He's the vet.
He took a lesser role, too.
I tell you what it might be important for is Şengün's development. That may be specifically a Şengün learner to be a pro type of thing, too. Because the Rockets have had some questions about, you know, his immaturity also. And certainly they don't believe he plays any defense because everybody even remotely connected with the organization will tell you that. So that's an organizational opinion all across the spectrum. So maybe Lopez would be one of those things where that's specifically for the front court mentorship and veteran presence. Yeah, it'd be one that would not be bad.
I wanted to ask both of you guys this question before we go to break about the Texans and if D-Hop were to come back, if you guys were, you know, sitting down with D-Hop, kind of what would you be asking him to be? Would you be just asking him, listen, you're our number one guy, we're expecting X amount of yards, X amount of catches, or is it, listen, you're going to be our number one, but you're more also trying to help CJ as we're trying to mentor him to be the future, so we're not looking for you to be this, you know, help us get 8-9 wins. We're just, you know, we want you to be here to kind of help with his development and you know, it would be a great comeback story. Kind of where would you be at, you know, if you could have a conversation?
Yeah, I don't know. That's tricky because I don't know that he was, you know, I think he and obviously he and Deshaun Watson had great chemistry. He was a younger player, you know, for a chunk of that, but they had great chemistry together. I don't know that he's any kind of a team leader. And you've got some receivers and Tank Dell. Like, you don't actually, he might be, I don't know. He learned under, people forget that Andre Johnson was there. He learned under Andre Johnson. Andre's around the club now. I think Andre Johnson could end up being the type of mentor for a Nico Collins, maybe even a Tank Dell, a John Mechie. I would just tell him, just go out and get catches and be a good target, be a good big target. And you'd have to make sure that he's on. No, here's why you can't bring him in. You know why you can't? Because he is notorious for not practicing. Wouldn't practice with the Texans for years. Wouldn't practice in Arizona. He is a notorious non-practicer. It got to the point where Deshaun was even like, I got all these guys sitting out practice, and I'm getting into games, and I haven't had any weekly reps with them. And that's when D-Hop was a good number one. And wouldn't practice. And then in Arizona, their big issue right away, they found out, this guy just tells us he doesn't want to practice. So actually, under no circumstances would I bring him to the
Texas. D-Hop is not the guy you want to mentor. Time for you to talk about Stephen Schell.
Yeah, how can you mentor a player if you're not even practicing?
No,
but Stephen Schell can mentor you when it comes to, and his staff can mentor you when it comes to understanding the process. It's a big process, getting a brand new outdoor patio, kitchen built, a swimming pool. It's a big process. It's a big ticket item. It's one that's going to add a lot of value to your home. It's one that's going to add a lot of value to your quality of life, but it can be a little intimidating. I went through it, and he said, you know, the standard process is people go through it, they get excited, then they wait and wait, and they're not sure, and then they sit with it, and then they say, well, we'll just put it off for another year, and then you know, another month will go by and they say, no, let's do it now. And that's exactly what happened with me. Exactly what he predicted would happened with me. And I couldn't be happier that I made the decision because they take the entire thing and make it easy for you from the design, from the layouts to helping you pick appliances, granite, the stone, the natural stone. They'll build it. And the workmanship is going to be absolutely outstanding, but it's everything that they do surrounding it. I had to have drains put in my yard. They had someone come out and do that as well. They had someone come out and do brand new gutters for me as well. There's just so much that they can do, and they really make your outdoor look like an oasis. They can do special, special things where you enjoy it more than anything. Made my steaks last night on my outdoor grill after making fajitas earlier or on Saturday on the outdoor grill. Make sure that you get your outdoor kitchen, your outdoor patio, your swim pool. Make sure you're looking at my friends over at TexasCustomPatios.com.
Thank you for listening to ESPN 97.5. It means the world.
I was the number one star in the world.
Bang.
The world.
Now that you've purchased all the fine products and services mentioned in the last break, it's time to be mind-numbingly bored by these two guys, John and Lance, in the Veritex Community Bank Studios that has microphones and stuff on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros lose again last night. They're five back. They look like the Angels last night. Fromber made a poor decision trying to get the double play instead of just going home on a one-hopper back to the mound.
Did you
although
mean that
he
as
was
a
going to his right.
When you said they look like the Angels, was that meant as a compliment?
That's never a compliment.
Because it didn't feel like a compliment.
When was the last time you looked like the Angels? It was a compliment.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. 2002 when they made the World Series with Mike Socha as their manager.
It's been a while.
That's not a good thing. So, yeah, they were. It was buffoonish. That route that Jake Meyers took to that fly ball, that
it was buffoonish.
That Jose Abreu base running blunder, that Jeremy Pena not running out a ground ball, and the throw was bad, and he would have been on.
Buffoonish.
The whole game was buffoonish. That you can't score more than two runs in a game against Toronto, except in game one. You score 11 and then you suck. I mean, it's typical Astros. 3-10 after in the next game after they score seven or more runs. 3-10. This year.
That's not ideal.
No.
String something together, boys. That's all you're asking for.
Yeah.
String something together from a hitting standpoint. Yeah, it's, you know, the baseball roller coaster up and down, and after you beat the, you know, you're feeling pretty good about yourself after you beat, you know, you win three out of four at home before heading on the road, then you win your first one, you put a ton of runs on, everyone on Twitter, well, here come the losses, they didn't save any runs, and I'm like, okay, stop that, guys, the whole saving runs is stupid. My apologies, because you couldn't sniff runs the next three games. You take three losses where you had shots at, you know, you had shots at winning those games. You had some bullpen fall apart on you a little bit. Yesterday was just a matter of you had one bad inning. The sixth inning was, you know, you had defensively two mistakes, and the Meyers mistake was, to me, the big one. I mean, Fromber got one of the – he didn't get the lead runner, run score, but he did get the man at second. But the Jake Meyers mistake is just completely misjudged a shot. It was a shot to center field, and he clearly didn't think it was going to be out of there.
Fifth inning.
Oh, fifth.
Yeah, you were saying six.
Fifth. Yeah, I said six. Yeah, it's fifth inning where they got the three runs.
Right.
But nothing after that.
Nothing.
Everyone
before,
did their job.
Nothing
Maton, after. Now, Maton got out of a little bit of a spot.
Yep. And, you know, Montero actually came in and gave you a decent inning, which was nice.
Against Bichette. By the way, I want to say, I mentioned this on Twitter. So Maton goes 3-0 on Bichette. There's two men on, two outs. He goes 3-0 on Bichette. His 3-0 pitch is a tight slider, which is literally perfectly thrown. And Bichette's looking fastball. The one thing that you've seen with the Astros approach, no matter who is the pitching coach is, they will not give in on a 3-0 pitch. And sometimes even on a 3-1 pitch. And I don't care if it's McCullers, if it's Garcia, if it's Fromber. They are going to throw a pitch that they believe are a pitcher's pitch a majority of the time. And if it's a walk, then it's a walk. And I give Phil Maton credit. He was not going to let Bichette get a crack at green lighting a 3-0 fastball. And he threw him a really good slider or his little curveball, a little with a tight break on it. It ended up at the bottom of the zone, and he just completely was way out ahead of it. The second pitch was a fastball in the corner, which I didn't think was framed great. Looked like Maldi was a little crossed up on it, but it was a strike, and the umpire gave him the strike. Then he got that slow-rolling chopper. John, that short, let me tell you something. Barehanding a ball when you're running forward is really hard at third base. Alex Bregman makes it look absolutely easy all the time. But then to short hop, when you're barehanding a short hopper, because it short hopped him, and he caught it and threw it in one motion, didn't even gather, he caught it and threw it. That was one of the best defensive plays that I've seen Alex Bregman ever make. To run in, short hop chopper, bare hand throw to first in one motion was phenomenal.
He also had the one, well, he's great at it. There's no question. He did have the chopper up the line, and he threw wide, and the runner was safe. But that's such a hard throw. I was like, Alex, come on.
Yeah,
you're spoiled by how good he is at
100%.
That. Spoiled by how good he is at that. No, he's a – no, listen, their defense, other than Abreu, the infield defense is still top-notch. Abreu's okay. He does scoop some. He has been okay at scooping. He's just not a – he doesn't move well, and he's not a great glove. But Jose Abreu, for those of you who didn't see, he said this game was my fault. Him getting picked off the way he did. He said, offensively, I'm crap. The translation is, I'm crap. I'm crap offensively, and he feels terrible about it. And he's hurting the team. There's no question he's hurting the team. And Dusty continues to hurt the team by putting him in the five hole. He did have him in the six hole for a while, and he just said, okay, I'm putting him back. I got to put him back in the five hole. Why? Why? And now, with Jordan out, does he have to play Yiner? Does he have to almost? How can you let that bat sit there?
No, I think you have to, or you're just going to play multiple outfielders. You'll have Chaz and Jake in the game at the same time. And Dubon, yeah.
I mean, you almost have to play Dubon now all the time as well.
Yeah, because, yeah, we'll see. Dusty already said, we don't have that soundbite, though, right, where you mentioned Dusty's ominous soundbite?
No.
I don't think we actually have that. But
no, he says they got multiple. We got to find a way to win some games. What?
Jordan out. Yeah, it's like we're going to have to find ways to win games now. And it sounds like it's an oblique, and he was in some pain. We know that it kept Altuve out. This could be, you're probably going to be missing, you have to guess, a minimum of four games. We know Jose Altuve has superpowers when it comes to healing. Little bones. When you have a little oblique muscle, does it heal faster?
Maybe it heals faster, yeah. Absolutely. Why wouldn't it? You think a bigger oblique muscle
would... So this could be nine games short on out?
This could be half the season.
Yep.
Why would
you say that?
As big as his oblique is, muscle... I don't see an end in sight, if you want to know the truth.
Lance McCullers is going to get an MRI looked at because there's setbacks. Yeah, and great. This is probably I'm just hoping he doesn't have Tommy John, I guess, although maybe that would give him an answer to something. I don't know what they do with him moving forward. I don't think you can move forward thinking that he's going to be one of your top five pitchers. It's unfortunate you have the contract the way it is. He's a really talented pitcher. He's a guy.
Dana Brown says, I've got my three guys. You need three horses. I got three horses.
Yeah.
And
he's counting Hunter as a horse.
And he said, you know what? Frankly, a bat might be a higher priority. I don't know where they're going to put this bat. I don't know how they're going to find him in the lineup. And even if they get a bat, Dusty won't play him because he just came to the team. We saw that last year. He refuses.
Why?
No. He hasn't been part of the team.
You know who else just came to the team was Jose Abreu. He's got no problem playing him.
Well, that was at the beginning of the season. This, you don't join a
You're
team.
You're talking about Mancini?
You don't. Mancini and Vasquez. Both of them.
And I forget about Vasquez.
Vasquez
sometime.
Could hit.
I know.
Refuse to play him. All right, we got to take a break. Dana Holgorsen is joining us in about 13 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You Coug fans, tweet us or you can call in when Dana's here and talk to the coach. Right now I'm talking about T-Box Texas. I'm telling you, I love this place. Lance, how fun was it?
It was awesome.
We were there
I told
Friday.
My son about it. Yeah. It's like it's a little bit of a drive, but I'm telling you, man, it was a great time.
Down in the Kima,
out there.
League City area. But kids, listen, you can bring your kids there because they've got dodgeball. simulated dodgeball, simulated baseball, simulated soccer. Jake Asman can't swing a golf club. He was playing soccer. Did you see him kicking a soccer ball?
That's disgraceful.
He wasn't great at it, but he was doing it.
That's disgraceful.
Okay? And you kids like Jake Asman, you can enjoy the simulators too. You can have kids' parties there. You can have adult parties there. You got a bar. You got TVs. It's a great sports bar where you can watch your games, sit at the bar, or play on your golf simulator. Over 100 different courses. You want to have a party there. You want to have meetings there. You want to have friends. It's a great place. Even if you don't play any sports, there's couches there while other people are hitting golf balls or playing soccer or whatever they're doing. It's just good. A great, great time had by all. You're looking for a great place to go while the summer heat is on? This is the place to go. TBoxTexas.com. TEEBoxTexas.com.
ESPN 97.5.com. Time to wake up.
Hey, you. You're finally awake. You were trying to cross the border, right?
Now that you've purchased all the fine products and services mentioned in the last break, it's time to be mind-numbingly bored by these two guys, John and Lance, in the Veritex Community Bank Studios that has microphones and stuff on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Did you just hear Marcus?
From Orleans.
From Orleans?
Yeah.
Did you hear him bringing us up food today? Or any day?
No.
Ever?
I didn't hear about it.
No, me either.
My son, Alec,
do you think Marcus is a jerk now? Yes.
My son's best friend works out at Orleans.
He does?
Yeah. Wade came home from school, and it's
which
a drive.
Which one, on I-10? Or
the one on I-10.
I-10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He works
it's
out there.
It's not that bad a drive.
No, he knows Chris, the owner, also.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad. I love the food.
Chance, the owner?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Marcus, did Marcus bring us any food recently?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It's almost best that, you know what? It's like restaurants that do advertisements. All they do is piss us off when we hear their spots and we don't have food.
Like Yanni?
Mad. Like everyone, the Killer Bees have food.
Stupid Yanni is. I know.
Killer Bees have, J-Bar-M brings them stuff all the time. We need Paul to come up here with Jack's Grill or Passarella's. But they get food all the time.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we're not really a lunch hour, and we are demanding people open their kitchens at 7 to start working for us.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me
at
all.
I don't either.
I mean,
I don't care the work you have to do.
Yeah, no, that doesn't bother me not one little bit that you have to get up early. Oh, sorry. Like we do every day. Thank you for our service. Thank you. Okay. I would just prefer you said thank you and brought me food.
Thank you for our service.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's all.
We thanked ourselves for our service.
For our service to the community. Yeah. Marcus?
John, Lance, thank you for your service.
It'd be
no
great
problem.
If Marcus, he knows Dana. It'd be great if Marcus brought up some food while Dana's in here.
Yeah.
Or Yanni.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Yanni knows us anymore. Such an a-hole now. Just sick of
such
him.
An a-hole now?
Just sick of
Well,
him.
You just call people a-holes.
Yeah. Well, don't bring me food. Guess what happens?
That happens. I'm starting a documentary, Lightning Lee Murray, called Lightning, on Showtime.
Like my truck?
Yeah. It's the one. It's the same guy who did Outcry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And this is about the UFC fighter who was part of the heist, the biggest heist in the history of the world. And I'm really excited about it. He's like a English hooligan, Lee Murray. I remember he was a badass, too, when he fought. But so I'm interested in... I got Showtime just
bigger
so I
than
can
the
watch
Lufthansa
that.
Heist?
Bigger than the Lufthansa heist.
Really?
It actually may have beaten the Lufthansa heist. As Lufthansa might have been the biggest heist until Lee Murray pulled this one off. But yeah, so he did that. So I'm going to start watching that. But there is, you got the NBA Finals going to be going today, right? They're back at it today. I'm excited to see how Miami comes back with this one. Bam Adebayo's played really well. I thought Jimmy Butler was incredibly passive the other day. I didn't think he attacked with the purpose of scoring. He was just driving dish. That's not good enough. Jimmy Butler has to take over the game. So I would be shocked if Jimmy Butler doesn't take over, have at least early in that game, RJ. I think you've got to get him to try to put his stamp on that game. This has to be a Jimmy Butler game or they're done.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Butler has to have a performance that's not otherworldly, but it just really seems like he's disappeared in these NBA finals, and he really needs to make his presence felt. And I think that's probably what's been missing from Miami. It's if Miami can keep it close, you expect that your star guy, in this case Jimmy Butler, to really give, you know, like the finishing touches in the fourth quarter. I understand that he's only one man and you're asking Bam Adebayo to be the, you know, that second star, but I mean, we saw it in the Boston series with Jimmy. If it was close, you're giving the ball to Jimmy, he's finishing. He just hasn't been able to do it here. And
Well, one thing we ought to talk about, though, is you got Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter, KCP. These are longer athletic defenders, too. I think they're making it a lot harder on Jimmy Butler right now to get what, you know, to do what he wants to do. A, you got a bunch of guys that can switch. And then B, you've got guys with length that can challenge shots, too. So, and Michael Porter, they showed him coming around picks, challenging jumpers, challenging three-pointers. Like, I think that's a little bit – I thought the defense was actually pretty good. Now, Miami also played dumb. Well, both teams had some bad turnovers as well. We're seeing some inconsistent ball handling, but Miami couldn't have been worse. And if this one goes – if they come in there and take the second game and it's 3-1, it's a wrap because Miami cannot come back from 3-1. They don't have enough firepower. You got to make this 2-2.
You got to make it 2-2 going back to Denver, but doesn't this almost feel like Denver, in a way, they're kind of almost built like how Milwaukee was when Milwaukee won the championship. A lot of long, lengthy guys. Mm-hmm. You can switch everything. And it seems, you know, like the same way with the Denver Nuggets.
You got a primary guy who doesn't have to get all, but he's a primary who can put up star numbers, but it doesn't preclude other players from having big games too. So that's, yeah, because Chris Middleton obviously was that guy previously with Milwaukee whenever he played basketball.
Right.
Also.
Well, he's got knee surgery now. We got to take a break. The coach is with us, Dan Holgerson, next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about Houston Powder Coaters right now. I'm talking about Robin and the great job that she and everybody over there does. I mean, they're fantastic at what they do. The five-star. I mean, they're just, you go look up the Google reviews. It's unbelievable. Very
hands-on, great communication with customers, 20 years of business experience, education for aftercare. They're going to make sure that you don't have to come back with your patio furniture or whatever metal that you're getting fixed. They will pick it up and they will deliver it back to you for absolutely free. They will come to you if you're a business and you need work on your fence or your outdoor, whatever outdoor metal that you need worked on. If you need, you know, you could have outdoor tables and chairs that need work, and Houston Powder Coaters can do it there on the site. They don't have to take them away from you. Over 100 different colors in stock to choose from. You can, oh, and you can make your own colors as well. If your patio furniture is old and faded or whatever metal it is that you have that's rusted that needs work, it's all at Houston Powder Coaters. They're unbelievably good. They're the best in the business. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5 in the studio with the candlestick.
Lame on the side of my face, breathing, breathless, heaving.